From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Donald Trump has had an amazing Teflon coat throughout his presidential campaign, but this weekend, his taxes got stickier, and another issue seems to be sticking. It may even be the one, that trips up his run for the White House. It's the way he thinks and talks about the country's largest voting bloc, women. His lashing out, his doubling down on lashing out. His women supporters say it's just talk. But polling says many women don't see it that way. This hour on Point, women and Donald Trump. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Women, how do you see Mr. Trump? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me first today from Washington is Ginger Gibson. She's a presidential campaign reporter for Reuters covering the Donald Trump campaign. Ginger, great to have you back.
Thanks. Glad to be back on.
We've got to look at a couple of things here. We're going to talk about women throughout this hour, but taxes have been so big over the weekend. We saw the New York Times report, of course, that came out talking about $900 million plus in losses and the potential for years and years and years of no tax paying that came along with that. Rudy Giuliani calling that genius on behalf of Donald Trump over the weekend. How is the Trump campaign dealing with this wave of attention to his taxes when, of course, he's still refusing to release his full tax reports?
We are operating in a world where we still know very little. The New York Times dropped the first October surprise, often an elusive thing this weekend, with some pages of Donald Trump's taxes. But you're right. They're pushing back at that. They're calling him a genius for not paying taxes. Not really disputing the meat of the New York Times story, but really we're operating in a haze as we talk about Donald Trump's taxes. We don't know what his taxes looked like for the past decades. We don't know what they look like for years. This offers a small insight that has to then be extrapolated out forward, guessing about what happened in the future. And because they're not providing any information, that's all we have to go on. What's left to be determined is how voters take this. Trump campaign hoping that they can continue this message of he's just really smart for not paying taxes, and if you could avoid paying taxes, you would as well. But the Clinton campaign is really going to hammer home that that meant he wasn't investing in the military, he wasn't investing in education, he wasn't investing in roads and bridges, and that message could get some legs in the final weeks of the campaign.
Well, is there any idea where these, I mean, out of all the pages of tax returns, these three were chosen very, very carefully, and they went straight to the New York Times. Where might they have come from? Who would have had access to them?
The New York Times is being very quiet about where they think they came from or who could have released them. As their reporter explained, they appeared in her mailbox, physical mailbox, not an email inbox. They were in a manila folder mailed to her without any identifying information other than a New York postmark on them. That's every reporter's dream come true. If anyone wants my address, they can mail me anything they would like as well. It's fairly unusual, and we know and looking at the story from the New York Times, they did spend a good amount of effort trying to verify that they were real, but it seems to be the case that is true, but highly unusual that someone opens their mailbox and there are Donald Trump's tax forms sitting in a manila folder.
Return address on that envelope, I see, was Trump Tower, though that may seem to have been facetious.
It would likely be facetious. I can't imagine that after so adamantly refusing to release his taxes, Trump would have just secretly mailed them to the New York Times. That's highly unlikely. Probably someone making a joke, being clever about putting a return address on it.
Big issue sitting out there. And, of course, without his returns public, it, very possibly festering on and on. The other side this week, this last week of the troubles for Trump in this period came out of this increased, renewed focus on his comments over time about women. Hillary Clinton raised it in the debate last Monday night, a week ago, right at the end of the debate. Here it was.
He called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Her name is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good.
And, of course, we're talking there about 1996 Miss Universe winner Alicia Machado. That has been all over the news and entertainment and everywhere else ever since. On Wednesday, in her show Full Frontal, comedian Samantha Bee parodied Trump's remarks toward Alicia Machado, predicted the effects they would have on women voters.
You had a stunningly beautiful Miss Universe winner, but you treated her like garbage. Now you have a real problem, not only with her, but with any woman who's ever been called fat, which is all of us. We've been dealing with you our whole life.
Trump took the hit in the debate and then went on the defense.
Hillary is hitting me with tremendous commercials. Some of it said in entertainment. Some of it said somebody who's been very vicious to me, Rosie O'Donnell. I said very tough things to her, and I think everybody would agree that she deserves it, and nobody feels sorry for her.
Ginger Gibson has followed the Trump campaign for Reuters. What about this one, Ginger, and how the Trump campaign is responding to this tsunami of tough criticism on his comments about women and his reaction to criticism here, the middle-of-the-night Twitter blast and all the rest?
We see Trump again in very risky territory with women voters. Our polling tells us that he is underperforming with women, particularly white women who lean conservative, who would otherwise make Republican voting an easy decision for them, are just not sold on Donald Trump, and they're pointing to these types of statements. They see him as speaking ill of women. I mean, going all the way back to the Megyn Kelly remarks during the primary process, this is just another what they see as an example of his problems with women. And it also speaks, they think, to his temperament. If he's willing to say that on the debate stage, if he's willing to, as Samantha Bee characterized it, call these women fat, what would he say about another world leader? What would he say in a tricky diplomatic situation? And that's when I talk to voters, what they're telling me. They're concerned that the tone, that his willingness to say these things speak louder. And I think that we're seeing in polls women just unwilling to sign up for Donald Trump. They have a problem with him. His campaign has been pushing back. He has a woman campaign manager. She's become one of his most vocal supporters on cable news trying to dispute this. Kellyanne Conway has worked to reach women voters for the Republican Party for years now. This is one of her areas of expertise. But Hillary Clinton laid a trap for him in that debate, and he walked right into it. He took the bait and spent a whole week, instead of talking about jobs and the economy, talking about his energy plan, talking about what he would do for national security, firing off 3 a.m. tweets about whether or not the woman, Alicia Machado, was to be believed or not. And that is not what any presidential candidate wants to be litigating weeks before the election.
Criticizing her for being fat. Of course, plenty of Americans struggle with weight issues. And then over the weekend, you had the Associated Press with a story about how women were treated on the Trump's NBC show The Apprentice. They interviewed more than 20 people, they said, crew members, editors, contestants. Some women said they were fine with Trump's leadership style, but others felt very differently. Here's this was AP investigative reporter Grant Spurk talking with NPR's Morning Edition today about what women told her.
Trump would talk publicly about women's bodies on set, you know, the breasts and rear ends of women he was working with, and sometimes even the female contestants he might want to sleep with. Several people remembered being in the boardroom, for instance, talking about a business task with Trump, and then all of a sudden he would ask the male contestants to tell him which female contestants were hottest and which ones they would sleep with.
Ginger Gibson covers the Trump campaign for Reuters. I mean, the polls here, if you look overall, Ginger, I don't know if how much this predates, but the latest I'm seeing here from the Washington Post and ABC News is, you know, Clinton's up by just a couple of points among all this is white women overall. Of course, plenty of voters there. He leads among non-college-educated white women, 52-40%, but among college-educated, and they're stuck on white women in this poll, so I am too for the moment, but he leads, he trails Clinton by a really huge, Clinton's got 57% of white college-educated women, he's got 32%. Mitt Romney won that sector. That's a heavy voting group, Ginger.
It is, and we look at the 2012 election for signs of how Barack Obama was able to build a coalition, and white women, particularly in places like Northern Virginia, which was a swing state, the Research Triangle in North Carolina, the suburbs of some of the big cities in Ohio, those white women, when they talked about issues like abortion, like birth control, really went to Obama. They left Mitt Romney, and he was able to do better, but he didn't win them. Hillary Clinton is winning these these women. She's winning them by margins much larger than we saw before. And that's a surprise. You know, a Republican needs white college-educated voters. That is part of their coalition. And Donald Trump and losing these women. Now, Trump campaign or Trump supporters will argue that they're going to win other populations, that white men are going to him by larger margins than they had before. But at this point, his problem with women, it's just as any Republican or Democratic woman will tell you that works in politics, women vote in larger numbers than men, and you just can't win unless you win some of these women voters.
What about women outside the white category? That's big as well. What do the polls show there? I don't have the recent numbers on that.
When we look at minority women, we look at Hispanics and African Americans, we see Donald Trump is just doing horribly in these populations, and that is across the board for both men and women. Hillary Clinton was able to win some of the southern primary states. You look at Georgia, South Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, in part because of her large support among African American women. African American women turned out for her in the primary by huge margins. That's a base of support that she walked into this election with that are likely to stick with her through November. Donald Trump is just not appealing to these voters. We saw him make an aggressive appeal to African-American voters, talking about African-American voters. There's been no evidence after almost a month of him talking about that that moved any of the polls among those voters. We're seeing near blanket consistency that they're backing Hillary Clinton.
Are we going to hear more about this in the debates, or do you think Trump will try and avoid it from now on? I mean, he's risen to the bait, if that's what it was so far. What about when we get back Clinton v. Trump in debate format?
I think there's going to be a lot of speculation about what Donald Trump is going to do in the next debate. He's got two choices. He can try to stick to his messaging, what maybe some have called teleprompter Trump when his campaign has really pushed him to stay on message. Or we could see him go into these personal attacks. And I think that that will make for a very feisty debate if he does so. He's threatened to talk about Bill Clinton's marriage infidelities, and it would become very unraveled very quickly if that were the case.
Of course, Donald Trump had his own. Ginger Gibson with Reuters, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Donald Trump and the women's vote. There's plenty out there on Trump right now. Taxes, huge issue over the weekend. We'll see how that sorts out. But also, from the debate last week, and it just kept going right through the week with Alicia Machado and all the rest, the women's issue. The polls show him down among some significant blocks of women. But he's got votes of plenty of women at the same time. We're wide open for your observation here today. Women, what do you make of Donald Trump? Is this the right person with the right ideas, the right temperament to sit in the Oval Office? What do you make of the way Trump has talked about women over the years? What about over the last week with his slams of former Miss Universe, Alicia Machado? Lots of comments over a long time. This is a moment that has stuck with Donald Trump ever since 2006. Talking with Entertainment Tonight, Donald Trump attacking Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. I mean, both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob. She talks like a truck driver. If I were running The View, I'd fire Rosie. I mean, I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers. I'd say, Rosie, you're fired. We're all a little chubby, but Rosie's just worse than most of us. But it's not the chubbiness. Rosie is a very unattractive person, both inside and out.
Okay, that fat, ugly face. But it wasn't just in 2006. I mean, it was in the middle of the GOP primary season. Megyn Kelly was a tough questioner of Donald Trump in a primary debate. Afterward, he lashed out at her. He said they were unfair questions, but he went after her in a way that was so soaked in gender.
She gets out and she starts asking me all sorts of ridiculous questions. And, you know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. But she was, in my opinion, she was off base.
Blood coming out of her, whatever. Here he was with Fox's Bill O'Reilly last month saying he, Donald Trump, more than Hillary Clinton, respects women, would look out for their interests if elected.
I'll tell you what, there is nobody that respects women more than Donald Trump. That I can tell you. And I'll help women because we have the women's health problems. We have a lot of problems.
All
and
right.
I will help a lot more than Hillary can. That I can tell you.
Let's bring in, be joined by a couple of women with a lot of experience in this field. Republican and conservative circles in particular. Kim Alfano joins us from Newark, Delaware. GOP media strategist, president and CEO of Alfano Communications, worked with many, many Republicans over the years. Kim Alfano, welcome back to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And with us from Oxford, Maryland, Kathleen Parker, Pulitzer Prize-winning conservative columnist with The Washington Post. Kathleen Parker, welcome back to you as well.
Hi, Tom. It's good to be here.
Kim, let me come first to you. Should we be surprised that this has become an issue for Donald Trump, and how big an issue is it for him?
I don't think we should be surprised, but I have to say Trump is pretty good at, and I said this on your air before, pretty good at manipulating the daily news cycle. And yeah, it seems terrible right now, but so did all the other 300 other things he said.
Wait, you think this could be good for him that he's got?
I don't think it'll be good for him. I think it's a net zero. I think that ultimately we're still, 36 days, 35 days away. He's got the potential of 14 or 15 more of these before the election's done. And I really honestly have come to the conclusion in this race, we don't know what's going to happen until the week before the race. Honestly, do not know what's going to happen.
Wow. Kathleen, you can go or be perceived by some to be going after a whole gender. And even then, the mere fact that your name is in the news can work for you? Really?
Well, I would disagree with that, that it works for you. I think what we're, I want to get down to what's really going on with Donald Trump. I think what we're seeing here and what we've been seeing for a long time is a case of arrested development. Okay, this man has not evolved since he was born into the Playboy generation. I really just want to know if he has one of those little Playboy bunnies hanging from his rearview mirror.
The little fuzzy ones, you mean?
Yeah. What he indicates over and over and over again is that his view of women is purely objective. He objectifies women. They are only acceptable to him under certain circumstances. He has a history of not only saying these crude things about women and cruel things, but also in one of his golf clubs, for example, he insisted that only attractive women be hired. In other cases, he ordered that fat women be fired. He actually does have an issue with fat, which I guess he has those skinny mirrors in his house. I love those too, by the way.
Sure.
But you know what he's done here, and by the way, we could dismiss the Alicia Machado thing by saying, look, it was 20 years ago. She was a beauty queen. Part of her role as a beauty queen is to maintain a certain appearance, because that's what beauty pageants are all about. So there's been a consistent record of his insults toward women all along. And, you know, it's not so much the fat thing or the Rosie O'Donnell thing, or even individually, you know, the attacks on Megyn Kelly. But cumulatively, he has a clear contempt for women whom he cannot control. And they have to fit a certain stereotypical profile in order to be acceptable to him. So that's one set of factors that I find troubling, to say the least. The other is his temperamental inclination to just spout off. And we talked earlier about – Ginger was talking about his inability to sort of ignore a bait when it's tossed in his direction. He simply cannot control himself. And I find this far more problematic in a presidential candidate. And to think of him in a variety of scenarios where whatever is said to him gets under his very thin little skin and he has to fire back in a way that would be certainly undiplomatic and possibly damaging to our role in the world. That, to me, is something that we can't ignore.
I mean, do you really imagine you could have Donald Trump in the Lincoln bedroom or one of those in the White House in the middle of the night as president sending off tweets like that? I mean, I want to say surely not.
Yeah, it's
on the other hand,
who
are
gets up in the middle of the night and tweets about something that someone? If I tweeted back at everyone who says something offensive to me or about me in response to things I write, yeah, I would be up all night. I mean, I just have to say, I'd be like Donald Trump. I don't know how many thousands or tens of thousands of tweets he's released, but there's something going on there that isn't quite right.
The Clinton campaign is all over that. They've collected lots of sound from over the years, and there's lots put in an ad that asks, is this the president we want for our daughters? And shows teenage girls looking at themselves in their mirrors, trying to get their hair right or studying their figures while comments from Donald Trump about women play in the background.
I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers. She's a slob.
She ate like a pig.
A person who's flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
Does she have a good body? No.
Does she have a good body? No. And the girls watch, and the Clinton campaign suggesting, is this what you want your daughters to hear? Kim Alfano, Kathleen Parker, standby. Lots of callers. You're Tara in Michigan. St. Clair Shores, Michigan. Tara, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What do you see?
You know, I'm 37 years old, college educated. I have 4 college degrees. I work in finance, speak several languages.
Okay.
I do have a 6-year-old daughter, and have considered myself not just a Republican for many years, but a flaming Republican at that.
All right.
Donald Trump this year, this election cycle has really made me question my party. Historical years, I would vote straight ticket, Republican Party, but, his comments, the way that he objectifies women, it's everything that I've worked so hard in my career to overcome. And, working in finance, I feel like if Donald Trump were elected president, there wouldn't be a glass ceiling. It would be a cement ceiling, if you would. He would, all of the things that the labor unions and everyone has fought for women's equality and equal pay and equal rights, is I really think we would be going years behind. And for my 6-year-old daughter, that's not something that, I really questioned my party this year. And
Tara, is it his comments about women and their bodies, or sometimes even their roles, or is it the temperament side? A man, I've seen many women quoted in stories about this, saying, "Well, I want somebody who's a little more steady, man or woman, in the White House."
Yeah, I do believe we need someone more polished, and I would have expected something more from Donald Trump, considering his, his business acumen. And it's not necessarily the comments and the name calling. I think that really derives from insecurities. I think that there are, that's psychology 101, that the name calling he results in is just an insecure. He does take the bait every single time. How is he going to negotiate with Angela Merkel and, with Germany? I mean, they're a financial powerhouse. And how is that even going to work out? Even remotely beneficial for the United States if you get him and her in a room together. I don't see it working out well to our favor.
Tara, longtime Republican, not wanting to go there at all. On this issue of baiting has been up a lot, Kim. There's tape from Trump on Bill O'Reilly the week before his first debate. And O'Reilly was anticipating what might be coming here. Clinton, can Clinton bait you? O'Reilly asked. And Trump very saying, oh, no, no, no.
If she baits you into trying to say something inappropriate or explosive or controversial.
Hey, I went to the best school. I was a very good student. I mean, Bill, what kind of a question is that?
Kim Alfano, what about the strength to resist the baiting here? Is that as big or a bigger issue than the offensive statements themselves?
Absolutely. The crux of the problem. It is the biggest issue for him. I think that, it's not even just taking the bait, because we all know, we've sort of decided both Hillary and Donald Trump are two people we don't want to have beers with. That layer of trust and character have been taken out of this race. And we were willing to accept from either one of them a certain degree of just yuck. But the underpinnings, and what I mm-hmm. have talked about before, the underpinnings, does he have some sort of, when he was yelling about policy and acting, and braggadocious and crazy when he was talking about being the champion for particular policies, even though we didn't love what he was saying,
yep.
People got on board. Now he's just nuts. Now he's just fighting, with shadows that have nothing to do with my life if I'm a voter.
I mean, he's fighting.
If he's going to be bombastic on taxes, he should turn around on his tax thing and say to Hillary Clinton, yeah, you know what? I did take advantage of the tax code, but you are going to raise taxes on every single working person out there and they can't afford it. And then get on or on that. If he could turn some of these back to policy that people are caring about, nobody cares about his personality after that. At this point, we're all going to be doing the walk of shame the day after the election. So
you're a Republican strategist and you're saying he's just nuts. Is he really or crazy like a fox? I thought I heard you saying he's all over the TV.
He is all over the TV. My point is he's got weeks and weeks to do yet another crazy thing that can either turn us back towards build the wall or one of those sort of crazy bombastic things he said yet had underpinnings of a policy that people want to see. Or is he going to do it personally like a 10-year-old?
Kim Alfano, Kathleen Parker, please stand by. From the Trump camp, we have with us right now from Chicago, Brunell Donald Che. She's vice chair of the diversity outreach for the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. Brunell, Donald Che, thank you very much for being with us. Is Donald Trump in trouble with women?
I would say this. God bless you, and thank you so much for having me today, and everybody that's on. Hello, God bless you. What I would tell you is I'm a Democrat, okay? Voted Democrat every time. And I'll tell you this. If Donald Trump was running on the Democratic ticket, whoever was running against him as a Republican would have resigned by now because Donald Trump is a political rock star. Okay, he's a political rock star. My party, let me tell you, the Democratic Party will put up a monkey, decorate it, put it before the American people. The Democratic Party will go and vote for that monkey. And then in January, you will go out to shake the hand of the person thinking it was a person, and it was actually a decorated
monkey. I'm not following you very well. When he calls women pigs, dogs, slob, blood coming out of wherever, for you as a woman, is that a problem or not?
What I would say to you is that I'm looking at the bigger issues. I'm looking at the issues as a voter. I'm looking at immigration. I'm concerned about the $113 billion that we're spending on illegal aliens. I'm concerned about the refugees that are coming in.
I hear you, but we're talking about women, and we're doing it after Donald Trump really rolled into it almost voluntarily there. Did he have to jump all over this and give people a reason to come back into this issue, Brunell?
Well, I'll tell you this. Hillary Clinton just called all the voters for Bernie Sanders basement dwellers. And prior to that, she called Donald Trump voters deplorable. We're women out here.
Yeah.
So my thing is this. It can't be that we as women can pass on what a woman says about women, but then when a man opens his mouth, we're going to be judgmental. In this race, we have to understand that Donald Trump is saying America first. And what happens is, as Americans, we have to take off our woman hat, our man hat, our black hat, our white hat, our Hispanic hat, and think about America first.
If you're as a black woman, if you thought he was racist, would you take that hat off to just think about America first?
Well, I'll tell you this. With some of the things that I have read about Hillary Clinton with Margaret Sanger and all these different things, there are plenty of black people that are taking off their racist hat to vote for her. But what I'm saying to you, I don't believe Donald Trump is a racist. I believe that Donald Trump is a fellow American, a citizen, who sees that our country is on the wrong track. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not saying
that he's a perfect candidate.
If he were sexist or misogynistic, would you set that aside because you're so enamored of his, America First idea?
I don't believe that he is sexist or a misogynist, but what I will tell you is this. We cannot stand up in this election and be voting on emotions. What we have is ISIS strapping on bombs. They are in our country. They want to destroy Americans. They're not saying, hey, I'm going to let the women pass by and kill all the men and all the black people and Hispanic people. They're blowing up. They want to blow up Americans. We are not safe. Our borders are not covered.
We've got problems. I get it. Is Mr. Trump stable enough to address those issues if he gets sidetracked by Miss Universe, Miss Alicia Machado, in the middle of the night.
He's absolutely stable enough to address it because he's running a powerful organization called Trump Organization. He is an executive already. He's a person whose father gave him $1 million, and now he is a billionaire. We have a $19 trillion debt. We need someone like Donald Trump in that office that knows something about money. The same person that took $1 million and made $8 billion for himself and his family, that same person can take our $19 trillion debt and maybe shave that in half in 4 years.
Brunel Donald Che with the National Diversity Coalition for Trump with us from Chicago today. We're very grateful to you for being here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kathleen Parker, in a word, are you turned around?
Not yet, but Brunel makes some interesting points, and I'd like to talk to her.
This On Point podcast and following message are brought to you by Goldman Sachs. For answers to the world's most pressing economic questions, from the latest in emerging markets to finding the next big computing platform, tune in to Exchanges at Goldman Sachs, the firm's podcast. Each episode features in-depth discussions with some of the firm's leading experts on the markets, evolving industries, and the global economy. Subscribe to Exchanges at Goldman Sachs on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, or listen at gs.com/podcast.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about Donald Trump and the women's vote. Kathleen Parker is with us, Pulitzer Prize-winning conservative columnist with The Washington Post. Kim Alfano is here, GOP media strategist, Alfano Communications. She's worked with many Republicans. You can join us as well. Women, what do you make of Donald Trump? Here's a new ad released, not by the Clinton campaign, by the Trump campaign, just this weekend, features his daughter Ivanka making the case that on policy, Donald Trump is better for women than Hillary Clinton.
Donald Trump understands the needs of a modern workforce. My father will change outdated labor laws so that they support women and American families. He will provide tax credits for childcare, paid maternity leave, and dependent care savings accounts. This will allow women to support their families and further their careers.
Okay, there's the Trump version. The Clinton version still sticking with his record of tough comments on women. Here's another ad released over the weekend going after those remarks. Starts off with an exchange between Trump and the host of the Dr. Oz show. The woman's voice you hear is of a former Trump employee.
You have said people some unkind things about women. Do you regret those?
But we're all having fun together.
The boob job is terrible. You know, they look like two light bulbs coming out of a body.
But we're all having fun together.
When I said that I needed the break for breast pumping purposes, he got up, he shook his finger at me, and he screamed, "You're disgusting."
But we're all having fun together.
All having fun together. The ad would lead you to think, no, maybe not. Kathleen Parker, Kim Alfano, stand by just a second. Natalie in New Orleans. Thank you for calling, Natalie. You're on.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm a 29-year-old woman, and I would like women to be able to see this election as a reflection of the societal mind shift that needs to take place, and that, you know, Trump really represents all things atrocious and arrogant and the societal sexism that exists in the world. And I think women need to see it as that so we can really see that we have the key. We have the power to send a message to all men like him that it's not about what he says. You know, it's about the fact that everything that he says is intolerable and unacceptable, and we're not going to stand for it.
Well,
and
I think everything he says, I mean, you heard Brunel, who's in his camp just before the break, saying, we got a big deficit, Donald Trump will go at it. Everything he says is intolerable?
Well, everything that he says about women.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he has the guts to say things like that should not be tolerated. I mean, he can't say it on TV, he shouldn't say it on the radio, and it's just that there are men out in the world just like him, and if he wins, he sends a message to the rest of the world that, you know what, we don't have to advance, we don't have to finally see women as equals, you know, we can say whatever we want, we can treat them however we want, and I think women have the chance to say, no, it's time to stop, and we have the chance to do that.
Natalie, I appreciate your call. Kathleen Parker, there's the pushback against all these statements, comments over many years, and there's lots of them. On the other hand, you heard the Trump supporter, bless you, saying, look, on the issues, this is the guy she wants, and she'll set that aside, and other voters will, too.
Brunel has a very optimistic view of things, I think. as she indicated by her opening greeting.
Yep.
But I rather like this caller's description that Trump represents all things atrocious in the culture. Let me just open up another idea. Mm-hmm. One of the things that a president does, and we've had only male presidents thus far, but he is something of a father figure to the country. I remember very well growing up in the John
Has
Kennedy
been anyway,
days.
As you say, with
yeah,
with male
well,
presidents,
exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think we'll get to Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. in a minute. But Donald Trump is, that ad that the Clinton campaign is running with the girls looking at themselves yeah. in the mirror against this backdrop of his comments is devastating, I think, because as parents, we do recognize how much our children struggle with their self-image. And it isn't just girls, by the way. It mm-hmm. just happens to be that Trump is talking about the female part mm-hmm. of women. But little mm-hmm. boys and young teenage boys have the same problems with image. I say that as a mother of three boys.
Okay.
How does it make the young people feel to have a president who not only says these derogatory things about women, but who is so coarse and says the most disgusting things? I'm sorry. This is not how a parent talks to a child. And I don't know what we expect boys to be like if the president of the United States, were Trump to be elected, is so condescending toward women and objectifying and all the things that we now have recognized. We wouldn't be providing a very good role model for this next generation who were looking up to say, well, gosh, the president does it. I can do it.
Well, what about the reports there have been mixed reports, but there have been reports that within his business organization, some women have done quite well. Does that say something to you or?
Yes. I mean, there is another dimension to it for sure. And I think Ivanka Trump is his best asset, but she's also his daughter. And, she has been born into a great privilege that will continue for her entire life. So if I were, the heiress of a billionaire's fortune, then I'd be favorable toward that person, I suspect. So within his organization that he does promote women who are competent, that's great. I don't know these women. I haven't met them, but I suspect they're not fat and ugly. Not that I would ever say that about a person, but he certainly views women in that regard. And let me just say, this is not rare. Donald Trump is just more open about it. It's more rare now, obviously.
You mean the kind of sexism, misogyny?
That sexist approach to hiring practices. I mean, you now have a means to air your grievances when you suspect that's happening. But when I was coming along, I remember one magazine editor who had every female applicant be walked past his door where he would give the thumbs up or thumbs down, based solely on whether he thought she was attractive enough to, muddy his environment. So that's not the latest breaking news that some men have been very sexist toward women in the workplace. I imagine mm-hmm. there are a lot of women out there nodding because they've had that very experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. of course. So I don't know, I don't know if that balances out the fact that he has elevated some women within his organization. I don't know if that balances out all these other things that he says. But beyond what he says, what he obviously thinks. Mm. I agree with Brunell that we shouldn't elect someone based on emotion. So we can't stand what he says and therefore we're not going to elect him. But what you say is what you think. And what you think is who you are. So I don't know that I could ever get past what I know Trump to be, what kind of person I understand him to be, based on any other issues. The fact I don't think he's going to cut our $19 trillion debt in half without just completely eviscerating the federal government. And maybe that appeals to some people, but, there is such a thing. Not only is this an executive position, but it's a commander-in-chief position. Mm. And that kind of temperament and that kind of role is disturbing, at least to me.
Trump saying in his Twitter blast over the weekend, one of those was, for those few people knocking me for tweeting at 3 in the morning, at least I will be there awake to answer the call, looking for the presidential spin on it.
Senator, that's brilliant.
Brilliant. Senator Elizabeth Warren tweeting back. And of course, she's been a two-fisted in this whole thing. Is this what keeps you up at night, Donald, thinking of new and interesting ways to call women fat or ugly or sluts? And she tweets as well, a thin-skinned bully who thinks humiliating women at 3 a.m. qualifies him to be president does not understand America and is not fit to lead. Of course, that's a big Democratic senator. Greg in Providence, Rhode Island. Greg, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
How you doing, guys? Well, the fact to say that Donald Trump's, you know, maybe distasteful, sometimes disgusting comments towards women, they happen to be two particular women that he's been, you know, had a business relationship or had the same relationship with, not just in general, but I think it's funny that those comments, now nothing compared to the, you know, the actions and the infidelities and the indiscretions that a Democrat president in the 90s that you guys seem to think is one of the best presidents of all time. You know,
you guys, I don't think you're talking to Kim Alfano there or Kathleen. Yeah, what? Sorry?
What? Bill's actions may have been a little bit worse than Donald's comments, and Democrats think he was one of the best presidents of all time.
Well, yes, it got pretty funky at the White House there. Kim Alfano, is that where this is going to go? Is that what Donald Trump will bring up in the next debate? Is it going to go to Bill Clinton's marital infidelities? What about his own, Trump's?
Here's my advice. I think he should hire Brunell to tell him what to say in the next debate. Her passion and she was dead on the issues. And if I'm Kellyanne Conway or anyone trying to get through to him, I say be bombastic. You can be externally unpleasant, but say what Brunell said. Don't say what you want to say personally about somebody else. And I think, you know, the caller has a point. It's not even Bill Clinton that is kind of to blame there. Remember what Hillary did, and remember what Hillary Clinton did to the women that were accusing Bill Clinton that we found out later actually had some merit. So I think that's even more important to character. But again, I think that we don't have a really good choice when it comes to character in this election. So if Donald Trump can get back to those things that Brunell was talking about, people are just going to sort of move to the next level and not vote emotionally, but he's not even giving them something to vote on this week.
But
not even
like
giving something to vote on that's substantive either.
But it seems like he may be chomping at the bit, Kathleen, to get back to the other stuff.
Well, I have a theory about that. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if he would talk about the issues that Brunell raised, but I don't think he can. He's had plenty of opportunity to talk in specifics about what he will do and how he will do it, but he hasn't. He speaks in these broad generalities. He's most, you know, he's happiest when he's before a great big crowd of people who are cheering him on, where he can just toss out little blithe comments about this, that, and the other, but not really ever say anything. I think these digressions are really purposeful and for him, because to start a conversation about policy requires more than a flip remark or, you know, a three-sentence commentary. You've got to keep talking and explain what you have in mind. And he doesn't have that in him. He's not policy. He's not fluent in his own policies, whatever they might be. Instead, he just says, well, I'll just surround myself with the best people and they'll tell me what to do. And that is indeed what executives do. And you have to – but you have to – it's a leap of faith to assume that that will be the case. And I just don't have confidence in this man in that role. I really just don't. And by the way, being executive, running a business is not the same as governing. And governance is hard. You ask anyone who's done it. It's hard. You know, it helps to have a little bit of experience and knowledge. I'm not here to defend the Clintons' character when they were in the White House. That was an appalling period in our American history. But I think it was Kim who said we don't have a great choice when it comes to character. But I would remind your listeners that we're not talking about Bill Clinton becoming president. We're talking about Hillary Clinton. I don't know what response anyone expects from a wife who's in that circumstance. I mean, the fact that she said things about other women who were, you know, bimbo is the nicest thing anyone could say under those circumstances.
A whole lot of women watching and thinking where their vote will go. And, of course, it's hugely consequential. I mentioned Kellyanne Conway, Trump's campaign advisor. She talked with Fox's Megyn Kelly last week about what Donald Trump ought to do to, she said, appeal to women voters.
He should speak to America's women based on the issues about which they care. prosperity and security, mm-hmm. and he should talk about Obamacare and education, and he should talk about the lies that Hillary Clinton has told over many different decades. And he should also, I think he should brag more about the thousands of women he has employed at the Trump Corporation over decades.
But signs he may not go in that direction. Austin, Texas, Charity is calling. Hi, Charity. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Look, I want to come from the point of view here of an African-American woman as well. Mm-hmm. And I too, lean with being a Democrat, though I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm anti-Trump due to the fact that I think of the person that runs for president first, selfishly, what's going to benefit me here, then as, you know, a country, what's going to benefit America, and then globally, what's going to benefit the world. And, you know, I really, women are a big part of this world. Women have fought against these male, like, digressions and things like that. And I, as a millennial, I do understand that Congress is a really important part of the whole whole political system. And now I'm just forced with these two candidates to look at the things that are distracting me. They're emotional, the way they're acting. And I feel that Hillary has been a lot more calm and just a type of person that I can get behind. As an African-American woman, I cannot get behind Trump. Those are not hats that I feel like I can take off. And I honestly, I can't even know enough about his policy to really even make an idea. All I know is what kind of person he is. And this type of person just really, I can't, it would make me so ashamed as an American, honestly.
Charity, I appreciate your call. Kim, what about these numbers? I don't have all the poll numbers here, but the latest one out is on, and Charity, thanks, as an African-American, I appreciate hearing from you, but these numbers are on white women with college degrees. They went from Mitt Romney. Now they're 57% to 32% for Clinton against Trump. But overall, he's got 46 Clinton to 44 for Trump overall nationally. What do you make of these numbers? Could the women's vote sink him?
The women's vote has the potential to sink him, but you're forgetting that, listen, Hillary Clinton came in disqualified almost in this race because she was part of the establishment and people don't want anyone from any large institution running anything anymore. At this point, that's exploded. Trump could win with a coalition we've never seen before. Again, if he gets back to, and he can get away with sloganistic, you know, bullet points on things that he cares about, but he has to get to at least those bullet points. He's got to get off the personal stuff. And as Kellyanne said, start talking about all of those things that we care about, even if he's the one that says, I'm going to bomb the beep out of ISIS. You know what I mean? Yep. I just think he can be, you know, outrageous, but he's just being outrageous on the wrong things. But his coalition's going to be interesting after this election to see who it was that he was actually able to convince. If he can get it together, it might be bigger than you think.
Kathleen, just 20 seconds here. If it should be Trump in the White House, what do you think it would mean for American women?
Well, I don't think that he's going to go out of his way to make life more difficult for women, but he is surely going to have to clean up his act and clean up his language, or you might have a new women's movement on the streets.
A whole lot of women saying no way, no how, but others still watching. Kathleen Parker with the Washington Post, columnist there. Thank you very much, as always, for being with us. Enjoyed it, Kathleen.
Thank you, Tom. Me too.
And Kim Alfano at Alfano Communications, Republican media strategist. Thank you for joining us today, Kim.
Thanks, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for all your calls and comments online. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.